You have your Bibles. We're in Ephesians
chapter 5.
Paul begins a new passage today, a new subject. He's been talking about our walk in Christ. And today he's going to talk to us about wisdom. So let's read the text here. It's verses 15 and 16. Paul says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools or as foolish people, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." This is another phase of our Christian life. In chapter 1, 2, and 3 of Ephesians, Paul has given us some basic Bible doctrine. He tells us who we are in Jesus Christ. He describes the church. He describes the spiritual blessings that God has given us. He describes the power that God gives us to live a victorious Christian life. And then in chapters 4, 5, and 6, he makes some practical applications, teaching us how to take the things he's just taught us and live them out in our life. Remember, Paul begins chapter 1 talking about the fact that we as Christians have been called by God. Our calling is holy. It is a calling that comes from God himself. And so because of that, we have to walk according or equal to the calling with which God has called us. He calls it worthy. Worthy describes the only way that we can live our Christian life. We're supposed to walk humbly. There's nothing proud about who we were before we came to know Jesus Christ. Although in Jesus Christ, now we have something to be proud about. But it's what he has done for us and in our life, not what we have accomplished by ourselves. As Christians, as members of the body of Christ, we are called to walk in unity with each other, united. The church is one church, although it's made up of many different individual members. But each one of us is to serve each other in the church, in the Lord, and all of this is supposed to unite us closer to each other. We are supposed to walk in a way that contrasts itself with the darkness in the world. We are to be separated from the world. That's what the word holy means. It means to be cut off. John in his epistle says, don't love the world and don't love the things that are in the world because they're temporary, they pass, they rot. People want to steal them. Instead, be separated to God, committed, devoted to God. Then Paul talked about the fact that we're supposed to walk in love. Love the way God loved us, have the same kind of love towards each other, not just towards God. And then the last few weeks we've been looking at the fact that we are light and we're supposed to walk in the light as Jesus is in the light. And taking all of these concepts put together, walking worthily, humbly, united, separated from the world, in love and in light, now Paul says take all of these things and make a conclusion out of them. And the only conclusion you can say is that if you live this way, you will be wise. Wisdom. These aren't just suggestions that Paul makes. Somebody said about the Ten Commandments that they are not suggestions from God, it's what God commands. These are not suggestions from Paul, these are commands in Scripture of how we're supposed to live. And the command here is that we walk circumspectly. What does this word circumspect mean? It has a little bit to do with several different words all put together in the Greek language. But to sum them all up, it means to walk precisely, to be exact, to be diligent, and to be straight. These are the things that summarize how our wise walk before the Lord is supposed to be. And it refers to walking at the very top of something. Many old cities in Europe, and this is kind of where this word came from, had walls that surrounded them. Okay? They were big, thick, tall walls. A lot of houses where rich people lived had walls that surrounded them. And oftentimes, like on a military installation, what do you see on top of a fence or on top of a wall? Well, today you see barbed wire. In the days of Apostle Paul, on the walls, they would put sharp things, pieces of glass, pieces of metal on top, so that if somebody tried to get over the wall, they would have a difficult time doing it. And at the very same time, an innocent animal, like a cat, for example, can get up there and would walk very carefully, taking one step at a time, looking all around and carefully putting its paw down in front of itself where there were no sharp objects. And that is where the root of the word walk circumspectly as Christians in a world that is full of danger came from. And that is the word that Paul uses here. He says, when we walk in a world, it is dark, right? We were just talking about being light in a dark world. You don't just go out and run around. You don't run a marathon in the darkness, do you not? When we come home and it's dark, we turn on the lights so we don't stumble and fall. When we drive, we turn on our lights. Or some of us have automatic lights in our car. We don't even have to worry about it. But light in the darkness reflects a careful attitude. And that's what Paul is talking about. And this attitude requires wisdom based on what we know from Scripture. The same thing can be said about the military, you know. The military, usually the enemy, to keep somebody from coming in, they will have a strip of land where they put many landmines. Some of you know what a landmine is. If you step on it, it'll blow you up and the whole car, tank, or whatever you're in. And there's somebody called a point man that always walks in front of a brigade. And his job is, as the team advances, to walk very, very carefully, looking carefully for the little tripwire that will cause the mine to explode. And very often, it's very dangerous during war, these things explode because a soldier does not see the tripwire that is under some leaves or under some branches or maybe buried even under the soil. You can step on it, and all you hear is the click and the explosion of the bomb. Walk circumspectly, Paul says. Secondly, Paul says, if you're going to walk, if you're going to walk on this wall that is our life in the world, he says, don't walk as fools, but walk as wise. And then in verse 16, he talks about wise people redeem the time because the days are evil. The evil, all of these things we're supposed to be careful and circumspect about. But let's talk for a minute about being foolish. The word fool in the Bible refers not to Christians. Who does it refer to? It refers to people that are not Christians. Psalm 14, the fool said in his heart, there is no God. That's not David writing that. That's God writing that. That's God's analysis. That's God looking down from heaven and looking at men that reject God. Men that beat their breast and say, I'm an atheist. Your little mind does not understand. You say, you think there is no God, but there is a God. Paul in the New Testament writes, professing to be wise, they became fools. Sometimes you see a group of people and somebody's trying to show off or be proud and he really doesn't know what he's talking about. And it's very evident as soon as he starts talking about a subject that you know something about and you know immediately that this person doesn't have a clue. The word foolish translated into the Greek is moron, which we get the English word moron, which is somebody that intellectually is limited. Either has brain damage or was born limited cognitive skills and cannot think straight. Spiritually, a fool, as God describes in the Bible, is somebody that can look at and can hear and can read and can see God's truths in Scripture and does not comprehend them. God says that as natural men, as people that are born in sin, intellectually we cannot comprehend the things of God. When we were darkness, we were fools. And Paul now says, you are no longer fools. So don't walk like fools. Don't act like fools. Act like wise people. Another word for wise is smart. God wants us to be smart, spiritually speaking. So if we're not supposed to be foolish, then what are we supposed to be? We're supposed to be wise. The beginning of wisdom is what? It's the fear of God. The fear of God comes from knowing God, comes from knowing God's word, comes from practicing God's word. It's a result of the presence of God in your life. Wisdom has two parts to it. We talked about this in the Bible Hour a little bit. Wisdom has its content. It has its facts. You can go to school, you can take a class, and you can learn all the facts and all the formulas and geometry and algebra and trigonometry. But there comes a day when you have to take a test, and you have to remember all of those formulas to come up with the right answer. And if you use the wrong formula, in your eyes, you might think that you got the right answer. I remember I was never good at any of those classes, and I'd do a whole page and write out all the equations and come up with an answer that seemed perfectly logical, and the professor would say, "You used the wrong formula. Your thinking is good, but you used the wrong facts." You see, you have to come to the right conclusion. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, he says, the natural man, the man that is not born again, the natural man that is foolish, the man that lacks intellectual skill, the man that is walking among the sharp things in the world, he does not watch with his eyes. He's not circumspect. He steps where he should not stand. And the bomb goes off, and he ends up in sin. Paul writes, says, but you have the Holy Spirit in you. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, he will what? He will teach you all things. When the apostles spent 3.5 years with Jesus, Jesus taught them many things. And later on we read that after Jesus rose from the dead, and after the Holy Spirit came, and after the Holy Spirit lived in their life, then it says when they went out to preach, they remembered the things that Jesus had taught them. Now it had meaning. Now it had circumspectness to us, exactness. It had a straightness to us. Paul says we are to walk straight along the path that God calls us to walk. And that includes making the right decisions based on Scripture that God calls us to do. The basic facts of our spiritual life, the basic things in Scripture, when Paul writes these things, he assumes that you already know them. He does not begin to teach you that, the basics. He's assuming you know the basic facts. What Paul now is doing, he's teaching us to use these formulas in our life and to practice them so that we can live victorious Christian lives and have victory over sin. And because of that, it's very sad to see so many Christians come to church without a Bible. Or if you bring your Bible, sometimes you fumble and you don't know where the pastor is as we tie different verses together. That is your responsibility. Those are the things that God takes and assumes that you will spend the time to learn the basics, the ABCs, the counting from 1 to 20. And then you'll know what 21 and 30 and 40 and 50 and 100 is and 1,000. You have to learn the basics first, and then you can begin to make the right conclusions about all of these things. When you read Proverbs, Proverbs talks a lot about wisdom. And it personifies wisdom as if wisdom is a person. Especially in the first chapters of wisdom, of Proverbs. Proverbs is wisdom. The first chapters of Proverbs, wisdom speaks to the young man. And he says, you need to look for me. You have to search for me. And you have to pursue me if you want to get me. Do you know what the word pursue means? It's a military term that means to go get your enemy. He's running away from you, and you're going to overtake him. Turn to Philippians chapter 3 for a minute, and Paul uses this term very interestingly in the New Testament. Verse 12, it is not that I have already attained or am already perfect, but I follow after, following after Jesus Christ, of course, so that I maybe can apprehend that for which I was apprehended for Jesus Christ. What Paul is talking about here is Jesus Christ called me. Jesus Christ saved me. And now he wants me to pursue the salvation that he holds in his hand and he offers to me. He wants me to work on it daily in my life and to overtake him. That's how wisdom is. And wisdom in Proverbs calls to the young man. It says, pursue it. Desire it. Run after it as if it's all the wisdom and all of the riches in the world and you want to get it. That is the desire you're supposed to have for wisdom. And that is what Paul calls us. Now, Paul uses two examples in the New Testament about wisdom. He says, to the Jewish people, the gospel, it seemed foolish. It did not seem like wisdom. They cannot comprehend of a Messiah that would come and would be crucified on the cross by the Romans, who they despised. They thought the Messiah would come and establish Israel. And Israel would rule the world instead of Rome. And secondly, it was not only a stumbling block for them, it's the word that is in the Greek, scandal. It was a scandal for them that their Messiah was crucified by the Romans. But for the Romans and for the Greeks, the gospel was foolishness. They were into philosophy and they thought that they could attain eternal life through philosophy. And Paul says, but to us, to those of us that have come to know Jesus Christ, it is wisdom. Paul says, see. What do we see with? We see with our eyes. Paul says, see that you walk circumspectly, carefully, straight, accurately in this world. Not like the people that you used to be in darkness, but as the light that God has called you to be. We live in time. We'll talk about time next Sunday. God bless his word. Amen.